My friends, 2 Peter chapter 1 has always been one of my very favorite sections of the Bible. And while we love all of the Bible, there are certain portions of the Bible that teach us so many things and contain so many very clear lessons. The Apostle Peter, who is an aged servant of the Lord, and this is obvious because he tells us in this context in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. The tabernacle, is a Bible way of describing this body, which we put off in death. And it's very important that we notice that if this tabernacle of clay, if this mortal body is all that there is to us, then how can we put it off in death? But the truth is that we're made up of a soul, a body, and a spirit, and we're capable of putting off this tabernacle of clay, this mortal body, in death. So this time is near for the Apostle Peter. And since he knows that shortly that he must put off this tabernacle, he says in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." The Apostle Peter speaks of some ways in which he will not be negligent. If it's the Lord's will, we want to notice this word negligent and kindred words such as neglect as they appear in the Bible, because the Apostle Peter shows us here that there is a danger that a minister of the gospel could be negligent in some of these things. And he says, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." This text suggests to us that many times a minister of the gospel who desires to teach the whole counsel of God as it's revealed in the Bible, and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, in his zeal to speak about many things and study many things, and to be a faithful scribe that is trying to bring out of his master's treasure store things old and new, that he might be negligent in some areas. And this text suggests to us that the area in which we might be negligent is to put people in remembrance of things that they already know. For instance, there are many great fundamental doctrines of the Bible, such as election, predestination, the sovereignty of God, the new birth, the identity of the church. And sometimes we can feel that the people have heard these things time and time again. They're well established in them, and there's no need to emphasize these great principles. But the Apostle Peter seems to suggest to us that we can be negligent in putting people in remembrance of things that they already know. So it's important to put people in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and you see they're established in these things, and be established in the present truth. So I would encourage every minister of the gospel and every serious student of the Word of God to continue to study, to continue to teach the basic doctrines and basic principles of the Bible. A minister of the gospel should never make apologies for repeating over and over these wonderful principles that are taught in the Word of God, because the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." The Apostle Paul tells us that there's many of these things that he's writing here that he has written before, but he makes no apology. He says it's safe, it's needful for you that these things be repeated. And one thing that the Apostle Paul had repeated several times in the book of Philippians is simply telling these people to have joy and to rejoice in the Lord. Because if you go back to the beginning of this epistle and start counting, he had already told them seven times to rejoice or to have joy in the Lord. He tells them again, and he will tell them three more times in this epistle. And he makes no apology for repeating himself. So we see that a minister has areas wherein he can be negligent, and sometimes that is in not putting people in remembrance of things that they already know and things in which they're already established. As we think about this subject of neglect, we see that Solomon gives us an example of where there had been a great deal of neglect. When we go to the 24th chapter of Proverbs, verse 30, he says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, Solomon sees a farm, sees a field, and a vineyard that is in very bad condition. Why is it in very bad condition? He will tell us that it was in bad condition because of laziness and neglect. And some might say, well, this is a very bad example. This is a pitiful sight. We might as well move on down the road and study a good farm where things are right. Let's study some good examples. Well, I recognize that that's the way the agricultural schools do. They have plot number one and plot number two, and they have a test farm over here where everything is cultivated and fertilized and taken care of. And we're taken around to these demonstration plots to study good examples. But Solomon tells us as we go through life that we can learn from studying bad examples. So that ought to teach us that nobody is totally useless. At least you can serve as a bad example. Solomon, a wise man, says, Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Let's notice that verse again. Solomon sees something here that's a wreck. He sees something that, to use a common word, is in a mess. It's all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And we're going to find later that it's in this condition because of laziness and neglect. And he says, Then I saw and considered it well. That word considered means I set my heart upon it. I studied it a while. I looked upon it and received instruction. Solomon says, I can learn from bad examples. He said, I can learn from studying the lives of people who have made shipwreck of their lives. I can study the downfall of nations. He says, I looked upon it and received instruction. And he tells us the cause of this. He says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Solomon said this did not all happen at once. He said it was a little sleep here, a little sleep there. So this individual got a little sleep, practiced a little folding of the hands today, while the vineyard needed some attention, and while that stone wall needed some repair, and then a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands tomorrow, and a little bit of neglect the next day, and finally it reached the condition that it was in. This is an example of where neglect can take us. Now, we find that the Bible teaches us that there are some things that God's people are not to neglect. You remember the Apostle Peter spoke of some areas wherein he would not be negligent. And my friends, I urge every minister of the gospel to not be negligent, to constantly remind people and teach them those things that they're established, to teach the basic principles of the doctrine. But he tells the young minister Timothy, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, he says, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Then he will tell this young man the things that are to be the priorities in his life. Now recognize in this busy world in which we live that there's very few people, in fact, none I know, that have the time to keep everything painted and everything polished and to attend to all the details of the first-class care of all your automobiles and your machinery and to keep everything in good repair around the house and everything neat and then to spend enough time taking care of your health and all the little things that we know that we need to do in life. Most folk do not have enough hours in the day. And when people do not have enough money to go around, and very few people do, it usually means that we have to budget. It usually means that we have to say that some things are more important than others. And we will pay for this, and we'll pay for that, and we'll engage in some luxuries and recreation, and other things can be put off until the time comes. And when we start dealing with our time, very few people have as much time as they would like to have. And so most all of us are neglecting certain things in life most all the time. But the Bible teaches us to think in terms of priorities. What is it that's most important? When we look at the life of a gospel minister, his priorities are to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He says that his first priority is to meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly, and that means W-H-O-L-L-Y, that's spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning completely, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I recognize that true ministers of the gospel would like to spend more time in visitation than they do, and many of them would like to spend more time dealing with people and trying to help folks and spend time perhaps out walking in the woods meditating. And there's many things in life that we would like to do, and very few people have the time to do all that they know that they need to do. So the Bible makes it very clear as to the priorities of a minister of the gospel. Now, we also find, as we come to Second Hebrews chapter 2, or the second chapter of Hebrews, that the Apostle Paul here will also bring up another area of neglect. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My friend, that teaches us that the things that we hear, these things that the people in that day heard from the Apostle Paul, the things that people hear from gospel ministers today, and the things that we learn in reading the Bible, that they have a tendency to slip. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And when you look in the center column of your Bible, you find that that expression can also mean run out as leaking vessels. And we're well aware that there are many places in the Bible where the translators would come to a point that an expression could mean this, but it could also mean something else. And sometimes the main meaning is put in the text, but sometimes in the center column, they'll remind us that it also has another shade of meaning. That therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And that can mean run out as leaking vessels. I've said to God's people many times over the years that the Bible compares your spiritual container to a leaking vessel, that we have a tendency to let them slip. It's like a leaking vessel. Now, you might hear a gospel sermon and go away with 8 or 9 good points, or you might study the Bible and there'll be 5 or 6 refreshing points that the Lord would give you. But my friends, if you do not give the more earnest heed to these things and continue to meditate on them, in a short while, you may only remember 2 or 3 points. And in a few days, you may remember 1 point. And in a few more days, you may not remember anything about it. Because these things have a tendency to run out as leaking vessels. And I've said to people many times that in my years of dealing with automobiles and pickups and combines and machinery on the farm, and in dealing with lawn mowers and all kinds of machinery, large and small, I found that if I reach the point that I know that a radiator or a power steering pump has a tendency to leak, or a tire has a tendency to leak air, I pay it more attention. I give more attention to that tire that wants to leak. And once I find out that a radiator, a power steering pump, or something like that has a nature to leak, I give it more attention. In fact, I'll check it just about every time I operate that piece of machinery or drive that automobile. We give it more attention. And what does that tell us? Since we've already learned that our spiritual container is a leaky vessel, that it has a tendency to let things slip, that it has a tendency to let things run out, that means we ought to pay more attention to it. That means that we ought to try to fill it, put some more in it every day by meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, praying about the things of God, and certainly going to the house of God to receive a refill every time that we have the opportunity. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For, and he's promising us here, since these things run out as leaking vessels that we're going to lose, it's not such a thing as to stand still. Now, if someone has the idea that I've been to enough meetings, I've heard enough preaching, I think I'm at the saturation point, and I'll just take a little sabbatical or a little rest, and then I'll go back someday and take up where I left off. Or man, if a preacher of the gospel thinks that I've studied enough, I've preached enough, and I'll just sort of coast for a few years and take up where I left off, it won't be that way. Because the old illustration is that serving the Lord is sort of like riding a bicycle. You're either going forward or the thing's going to fall over. You've got to be moving in order to be able to keep the bicycle upright. And so we find that the Bible tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. So he goes on to say, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, the comparison that he's making here is to Israel under the law. That word spoken by angels is the law that was given to Israel. You remember in Acts chapter 7, verses 52 and 53, that Stephen tells the nation Israel that ye have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. We also remember that the Apostle Paul will tell us in Galatians 3:19 that the law was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. According to Psalm 68, verses 17 and 18, there were thousands of angels on that mountain when Moses received the law. And he says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, that is, if the nation Israel was given a covenant, and they were given some laws, and they did not obey these things, they let them slip, they neglected them, then they received a just recompense of reward here in time. Their nation was scattered, their city was destroyed. And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now notice that the question is not, how shall we escape if we reject so great salvation? This is not written to an alien sinner. This is not written to somebody outside the family of God. The question is not, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It is not how shall we escape if we reject so great a salvation, but it is how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. And the question is not how shall they escape. This is to God's people. How shall we escape? My friends, how shall we escape the same things that came upon the nation Israel? They were judged and chastised in time. Because we're going to find later that he will tell us that the Lord shall judge his people. Chapter 10, verse 30. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Then he will tell us in Hebrews chapter 12 that every son the Lord loveth, he scourgeth, and says he chasteneth every son that he receiveth. He is telling us that as members of the family of God, that we will receive the judgment and chastisement of God if we neglect so great a salvation. If we neglect so great salvation. Now, question. The Solomon spoke of going by the field of the slothful and of the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and this man had neglected it. Can a man neglect his field and neglect his vineyard if he has no field or vineyard? The answer is no. Now then, the minister of the gospel is told to neglect not the gift that is in thee. Can a man who has no gift neglect his gift? The answer again is no. And my friends, the only individual that can neglect his wife is a person who has a wife. The only individual that could neglect his garden or could neglect his crop would be somebody that had those things. And the only people that can neglect their salvation is a people that are in possession of salvation. Now then, what are some of the ways that we can neglect our salvation? First of all, by just quit thinking about it, just quit rejoicing in it, just quit giving God thanks for it, and then we can begin to neglect the worship of the Lord, because he will tell us later in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So God's people are told not to neglect their so great a salvation. That is, meditate on it, rejoice in it, give God the thanks for it, and receive the blessings for it as you go through this life. And so some individual might say, well, there's many things in life I neglect. I have to neglect some things because, as you said in the outset, I don't have the time to keep the yard manicured, to keep the house neat, to keep all the machinery in shape, and to get the amount of exercise that my doctor tells me to get, and to take care of all the things that I'm supposed to, and do the bookwork and paperwork, and keep my bills paid, and work at a job, and I just don't have time to keep everything in tip-top shape. Well, my friends, I can certainly sympathize. And so since we don't have time to tend to everything, let's think in terms of priorities. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord tells us that the main thing that we should not neglect is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, my friends, these things should be at the very top of the list. Notice that he says, but seek ye first. Now, he did not say, seek ye only, because the Lord is not unreasonable. The Lord knows that we must spend a portion of our time seeking the seconds and thirds and fourths of life, which is working at a job, it's taking care of the material things of life. But the Lord tells us that the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to come first in the lives of his people. So, my friends, sometimes we have to neglect some of these fifths and sixths and sevenths in life, and perhaps sometimes even the thirds and fourths, if it gets in the way of us taking care of that thing that we should not neglect, and that is serving the Lord and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, my friends, may the Lord bless us to get our priorities straight, to keep them straight, and to not neglect those things which are essential. And I remind ministers of the gospel once again that the Apostle Peter tells us that sometimes an area of neglect in our lives can be to be negligent in these things that people already know and they're already established in, because the Bible tells us that I will that these things that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, for it says, these things are good and profitable unto men.